Okay. Well, before I begin, I just want to say about that song. I always feel that it is a beautiful experience for us to come and be together here in the sanctuary. But what we're not seeing here is the beautiful video that our stream team leader, Jamie, put together for that song. And it is beautiful. So if you get a chance, check it out. And I know you enjoyed it if you're watching right now or you're watching later this week. So now I'll begin. And here we are, just like that. It is July. But really, no worries, because July is a longer month than June. Not only by one day, 31 days instead of 30, but by more Sundays, five instead of four. And that's a good thing, because in recognition of the freedom that the 4th of July is intended to celebrate, we'll have an extra Sunday to consider what it means to us to be free. We read in Science of Mind, live, love, and laugh. Let the heart be glad and free. Rejoice in the thought of life and be happy. Now, as spiritual beings, it is our divine right to be happy. But because we are absolutely free to choose how we will experience this physical life and this physical environment, we're free to choose not to be. We live in a world that appears to have power to limit our love and laughter, to make our hearts sad, to keep us from feeling inspired by the thought of life. And it's up to us to choose differently. The gift of this earth life is that through its contrasts, we get to discover that we are the power that can either limit or free us to feel alive, to express love freely, and to laugh wholeheartedly. Abraham Hicks tells us the only freedom that exists in all the universe, and it is everything, is in the knowledge that we create our own reality and that we can feel the way we choose to feel. I mean, we'd all agree that this human environment appears to us as shadow and light, as pairs of opposites, as duality, and as a whole lot of diversity in individual human self-expression. And even though we think that we want sameness, that we want uniformity, that we want homogeneity, even though we think that we'd rather everyone think and speak and act as we do, we're living in the very conditions we were looking for when we decided to come into this physical form, when we decided to be born into a physical environment that causes us and everyone else to appear to be separate from one another. Because we knew that without the appearance of duality and diversity, we wouldn't have the opportunity to exercise our power and freedom to choose and grow spiritually through our choices. In The Way of Transformation, we read, as you create a temporary perceived limitation as a way to call to you a certain quality of experience, there is a tendency to fall into the trap of identifying yourself with the constraints that you have set up from your unlimited freedom in order to have a temporary learning experience. Earth life is short. It's a temporary experience designed by us to learn within if we want to and if we choose to. It may appear that we gave up our freedom as spiritual beings in order to have this temporary human experience. That we gave up being a spiritual being to be a human being. But even so, we remain spiritual beings behind our parents as a separate human being. We remain one with the one spirit of all life and one with each other. If that weren't so, if spirit weren't backing us up, we wouldn't appear at all, because nothing in this physical world can appear without the spiritual power that allows it to. We aren't now, and we could never be, separate from the God of our creation. Not here, not anywhere. Because there is nothing but God in every direction, including our direction. In the book of Psalms, we read, "If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I descend into hell, behold, thou art there also." Heaven and hell are states of conscious awareness within the one holy consciousness of the universe. Heaven and hell are temporary experiences of the mind created by the choices we make. We ascend into heaven and we descend into hell with every thought we believe is true and with every decision we make based on what we believe. That's why the power of choice is a freedom not to be taken lightly. Because if we're not paying attention, if we're not conscious that we are spiritual and we remain spiritual in this world we made together for the purpose of spiritual growth, then it's easy for us to get trapped in the limitations of the three-dimensional world and forget that there is so much more to us than these physical bodies and so much more to the world around us than what we see with our physical eyes. Utilizing our power of choice is why we came. But as we look at our own individual life today, we may wonder what we were thinking while we were choosing. Like the man who walked into a diner with a full-grown ostrich behind him. As he and the ostrich sat down at the counter, the waitress, who'd seen everything in her many years of working in the diner, came over and without batting an eye, asked for their order. And the man said, "I'll have a burger and fries and a Coke." And then he looked at the ostrich and he said, "What's yours?" And the ostrich said, "I'll have the same." And so the waitress walked off and returned with the order, and she said, "That'll be $6.49. And the man reached into his pocket and pulled out the exact change for payment, and he gave it to the waitress. So the next day, the man and the ostrich came in again, and the man ordered a club sandwich, coleslaw, and iced tea. And the ostrich said, "I'll have the same." The waitress came back with the order and said, "That'll be $7.13. And once again, the man reached into his pocket and pulled out the exact change. And this went on. It became routine till one evening when the two came in and sat at the end of the counter, and the man ordered steak and baked potato and a salad, and the ostrich ordered the same. But this time, when the waitress said, "That'll be $22.62, and the man pulled the exact change from his pocket, the waitress's curiosity got to her. And she said, "I just got to ask, how is it that you managed to come up with the exact change every time?" And the man said, "Well, several years ago, I was cleaning the attic, found an old lamp, and as you can imagine, I rubbed it, and a genie appeared. And I was given two wishes. Mom, my first wish was that if I ever had to pay for anything, I'd be able to reach into my pocket, and the right amount of money would always be there, no matter what." And the waitress said, "Wow, that is brilliant. Most people would have wished for $1 million, but you will be as rich as you want to be for as long as you live." And the man said, "I know, right? I mean, no matter what it is, gallon of milk, a Rolls Royce, whatever, I'll be able to reach into my pocket and the exact amount of money will be there." And the waitress just shook her head in amazement. And then she said, "I gotta ask, what's with the ostrich?" And he said, "Well, my second wish was for a long-legged chick who would agree with everything I said." As the saying goes, be careful of what you ask for. And when you ask, be sure that you know you deserve what it is you truly want. Because what we receive every time matches perfectly our thoughts of constraint or freedom. Now, as it's been mentioned, the title of today's talk is "The Ego Has Landed." And as you know, it's just a play on the phrase "the eagle has landed" that the astronaut Neil Armstrong said when the Eagle lunar lander landed on the moon. And there are a lot of ideas about what the ego is and whether we should smash it and get rid of it, or that we should love it as part of our creation. Abraham Hicks tells us your ego is your physical focuser. If you did not have this egotistical ability to focus, you would not be of any advantage to the non-physical energy of the universe and your inner being. It's not having the ego that's the problem. It's using it to talk about what you don't want. The ego is part of the plan. It can see duality. It can perceive limitations. We've created it from our unlimited freedom to help us decide what it is we want among all there is to want. When we choose, our inner being grows and expands. It attracts whatever it is by becoming the very presence of it within us. It receives the yes answer and has no resistance to it. Now, I don't know how many of you grew up believing that to feel confident and proud of yourself was egotistical and a bad thing. That to believe that we can do anything we choose to do is being all puffed up, or as my mom put it, being full of yourself. What I didn't know then, and what I've come to know since then, is that being full of ourself is a beautiful thing to be full of. Because we, who we are now and who we've always been is the very expression of Christ, the very self of God that's beyond judgment, the very thought of love in form. The way of transformation tells us you are in the holiest of temples, yourself. Nothing limits you at all or at any time. The power of the freedom of choice is the essence of Christ. That's why our freedom of choice is so powerful. Every time we choose, whatever we choose, every time we think, no matter what thought we choose to think, we are using the essence of the Christ in us. It's only as we forget who we are and we believe that we're separate from the divine source of life that created us and loves us still and always, that we experience an ego born of the belief in separation. Every choice we make as a separate self is based on the belief that we are alone and on our own in a world whose tenet is every man for himself. And so we struggle. And we strive to survive. The spiritual master Muji said, if the I is identified with the body and the person, then it will be the person's responsibility to look after their own life. But if the I is identified as consciousness, then it will be consciousness and the universe that look after the body. If we believe the ego is all there is to us, when we think or say, I am, then rather than focusing our mind on what we want, with the awareness that the universe always responds with a yes and always conspires to bring it to us, we'll use our ego, our focuser, to focus on the world and ignore the invisible universe in which we live. And then we'll talk about what we don't want that we have and what we don't have that we want and can't get. The ego is full of paranoia because it sees a world outside of itself that it believes has the power to keep the wanted away. A world that doesn't have its best interests in mind. So the ego is constantly determining what's safe and what's not and who's safe and who's not and who's right and who's not. And what's missing from our life and the world around us. The ego is on our side, personally, no matter what. It wants what we want. But it thinks the world outside of it is the source to get it. It's self-protective. It wants to keep us from getting our feelings hurt or from looking foolish. And so it will lie, even to us, about what we truly want in order to keep us from being disappointed and to protect us from the opinions of others. Anytime we're defensive, the ego has landed. Anytime we react to an assumed insult, whether we pout or shout, the ego has landed. Anytime we insist that others agree with us or that they need to change for us, the ego has landed. Anytime we struggle to get what we want from this world and feel disappointment or resignation when we don't get it, and it doesn't show up when we think it should, the ego has landed. And anytime we think that we are too busy in this world getting what we need, that we don't have the time for spiritual exploration within us, the ego has landed. The ego is so full of spiritual self-denial and self-doubt, it can't see beyond its own fears. It can't see the beauty in the world around us, around it, because it has pinched off the beauty within it. It protects our heart by causing us to be afraid to love. And so we don't feel the love within us to give, and we can't feel the love that is given to us by others. When we're not feeling love, when our heart doesn't feel glad and free, when we don't rejoice in the thought of life and feel happy, we can be sure that the ego has landed. So, do we squash the ego or do we love it up? Do we love it as part of our own creation? In the way of transformation, we read, I once said that if you are not wholly joyous, it could only be because you have elected to use the power of your mind to think differently than your Creator. Our Creator is love. Love and judgment appear in this world, so we can choose love over and over and over again until we think like our Creator. Every moment we have the power to choose who we will be, to decide who we are. And that choice determines how we feel about ourselves and others and the world around us. There is only one remedy for judgment, and that is love. In this world, the one opposite that resolves all opposites. In the way of transformation, we read, the attempt to embrace creation while judgment is still in the mind is like reaching for a carrot at the end of the stick and not being able to reach it. Love and judgment are opposites. It's only when we choose love that we feel our oneness with God. And then we're able to embrace all of creation with love. In that holy awareness, the ego dissolves into the light of that one love. We read in the book of Matthew, if your eye is single, your whole body will be filled with light. Every part of us, including the ego. And then the ego becomes to us what it's always been intended to be. A persona that can see duality. A focuser that makes it possible for us to use our power of choice and focus only on the good and the beautiful and the holy. Then, when we do, we are so full of ourselves, so full of the Christ in us, that we know for sure that we can do anything we choose to do. And we love without judgment, aware that all things, including us, are here for the glory of God. From the Shanti Cristo study group papers, we read, delight in the blessings of time and see not a single moment as that which would imprison you. For there is nothing outside of you, while within you is the absolute freedom of choice, given wholly and never earned. In which you can look upon the things of time, each event that time seems to require of you. And you can bring the blessing of Christ to it. You can choose to radiate instead of contract. You can choose unlimitedness instead of limitation. You can choose love instead of fear. That is the great gift of time. Namaste. All right. Well, we are so grateful you're here. It is so good to look out and see all of you. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Even though we can't see you, when you're live streaming, we can feel you. So thank you for being here. And we just want to thank you for showing up, and being part of this message of love, for being a family, for being friends of the Life Enrichment Center and its message of love. Without you, there's no one to talk to. And so that's important for your presence to be here, for your energy, your beautiful energy and love to be here. And what helps us to remain here is your financial support. And so if you don't know yet how to support us financially, or you want to hear that P.O. box one more time, no one can say it better than our treasurer, Jamie Phillips.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so you can donate to the Life Enrichment Center and help contribute by going to Facebook, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Life Enrichment Center, and hit the donate button. You can go to our website, lecflint.com, and hit the contribute button. You can pay via PayPal, and our email address is 25, I always start that.
Okay. It's a hard one.
Yeah, I just should have it written down like this P.O. box. Our email is lec2512@gmail.com, or you can send a check to our new P.O. box, which is LA Life Enrichment Center, P.O. Box 2. Cut. Okay. Our new P.O. box is the Life Enrichment Center, P.O. Box 321294, Flint, Michigan, 48532. The zip code's still the same. And here in the sanctuary, we're going to be taking an offertory, so I'd like to invite